Haven't been the worst of all sinners, I don't think, but the multitude of my transgressions mount up. But understanding the depths of God's love and forgiveness, that my sin has been atoned for through the work of Jesus Christ, causes something to well up within me, call it love. And thus I pray during this hour of worship, we will demonstrate our love for God by the integrity of our worship and the quality of our worship. And then when we leave this building, we will honor God with the quality and the integrity of our lives. I do welcome all, particularly welcome our visitors. Delighted to see everyone here. If you'll take time, please pass the ritual of friendship pad down the pews. We'll have a record of your attendance. Please read the announcements that are in the bulletin. It's always good to see the maroon, purple robes up here on Sunday morning, mixed in with a few of the tan robes, because it means the bell choir is playing. I'd remind our session, we're meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Are there other announcements to be made? Wow. If not, let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Please join me in a call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You are robed with honor and majesty. May the glory of the Lord last forever. I will praise my God to my last breath. Let us worship God. Our Father, with the breaking of a new day, we gather with the hosts of heaven and the church around the world to honor our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. We pray that our understanding of your grace will grow and our voices will proclaim the mystery that in Christ we have been ransomed from the fall. We praise you for the amazing grace we find in our Savior who saves us from sin and has made us your redeemed children. Grant our prayer that we will recognize Jesus as the Lord of all, the sovereign of our lives. During this hour of worship, accept our praise, hear our prayers, and allow us to be changed by your word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Joel chapter 2, we read, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." With the assurance of God's love and willingness to forgive, let us join our voices to confess our sins using the prayer found in the bulletin. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of forgiveness and mercy, hear our prayer as we confess our shortcomings and guilt. With moments so critical, we let time just go by. With deliverance so near, we linger in the darkness. With Christ as our armor, we could hear. who hesitate to greet the new day. O God, lead us forth, that the moment may be met. Dispel the shadow, so that you will wake and clear. Clothed with light and new life in Christ, let us go forth as those who are awake. May we live lives worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints and in the kingdom of light. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. And may we honor God as we give to Him His tithe and our offerings. Heavenly Father, we offer to you our gifts and your tithes. Use them for your purpose. Allow them to bring you honor. And then, yes, use us as we offer our very lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Psalter is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Will our children now please come forward? You're going to have to come all the way up here today. We got bells in the way. Oh, good. Do you know what you're going to be doing this week?
Learning about prayer?
That's good. Where are you going to go this week? Tomorrow and the next day and the next week?
School.
You're going to go to school? Are you going to go anywhere else?
Church.
That's a good place to go. Any place else? Do you think you might go to the grocery store?
Maybe.
Do you think you might go to the fabric store? No, maybe. You go home. You'll be home, won't you? You might go to the SFA. Are they playing Sam Houston this week? Next week. Okay, well, next week you might be going to the football. May go to the football game this week. It's always good to go to the SFA football game or the Nacogdoches High School football game. Any place else? Let me tell you something. What did I bring to church with me this morning? If you had salt. Oh, gosh. That's terrible. I should have brought some water with me. You want to taste it?
No.
Have you just tasted salt before? Did you know what Jesus said about salt? He said, "You, and you, and you, and you, and you, all, you are the salt of the earth." Does that mean we taste terrible? What did Jesus mean? You're the salt of the earth. Let me do it this way. Have you ever had a baked potato and you didn't put salt on it? Does it taste better with salt or without salt? Put a little salt on it, it's better. A lot of things. Have you ever tried to cook pancakes and you didn't put salt in the batter? Well, the pancakes are okay, but they're not nearly as good if you put a little salt in it. Don't just eat the salt, but salt has a purpose. It makes food taste better. I don't know how it does it, but somehow it just brings out the flavor. Now, Jesus said, you are the salt. He didn't say you might be the salt. He says that you are salt. What do you think he meant by that? I'll tell you. Let me tell you what I think he meant. When you go to school, when you go to the grocery store, if you go to your friend's house, when you go home, when you go to the Stephen F. Austin football game or the Nacogdoches High School football game, you go to the fabric store, you go to the grocery store, you go to church, you go wherever you go, you are to be salt. That means wherever you go, you're supposed to make that place better. Can you make a place better by whining and screaming and fussing? No. Can you make a place better by loving the people that are there? Can you make a place better by calling people names, and can you make a place better by speaking kindly to folks? You are the salt of the earth. You're the ones that help people know about Jesus by the way you live. So when you go to the grocery store, when you go to church, when you go to school, when you go home, when you go to the football game, when you go to the fabric store, you're to be the salt by the way we treat others. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have made us the salt of the earth. But we pray that we might truly be what salt is to our food, that we might make this world a better place. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated.
Last week we read the text from Matthew that contained the Beatitudes as the lesson for the sermon. Today, especially in the light of the less than overwhelming vote to call an associate pastor, I've chosen the words of Jesus immediately following the Beatitudes. My hope that these words spoken in the distant past will help us as a congregation reflect on the possibility of our future together as a church. So hear the word as they are spoken by our Lord in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, so that it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It is interesting to hear the ways human beings describe the character and personality of others. I hear things like, well, Steve's a good person, but his elevator doesn't seem to quite make it to the top floor. I haven't figured out exactly what that means. I don't live in an apartment that doesn't have an elevator to the top floor. I live in a flat house, one room, go through the front door. Maybe it meant something else. Sheila is a great worker, but she has the personality of a sponge. Now, what does that mean? Is that good or is that bad? What does it mean to have the character of a sponge? You don't want that person working for you because they are 27 miles of bad road. He's all start, no finish. I remember one preacher saying he was talking to a reference about someone he was thinking about hiring as the secretary of the church, and the person he interviewed said, you know, Stacy, she just brightens up the room. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, when she's in the room, the whole room just seems brighter. Okay, well, that was helpful. Jesus talked about people using this kind of rich imagery. He spoke about those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. He's talked about those who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. He said some people are like yeast. He called Peter a rock. And yes, he uses a wonderful image to describe us, the church. You are the salt of the earth. We have picked this phrase up and we use it for other people. As I prepared this sermon, I remembered for the first time in many years, Parker and Susie Coppinger. They were members of the church I served in Abilene, just down home people. They're the salt of the earth, good, honest people. They cared for everyone. If they made a commitment, they kept it. If they said they were going to be in charge of a church dinner, you didn't have to worry about the church dinner and you knew everyone would have a good time. Every Saturday before Palm Sunday, they invited the whole church to their house for a pancake breakfast. They were people of integrity. There was no fluff, no pretense, no putting on airs. They were the salt of the earth. The problem with the biblical interpretation, though, is that you have a great phrase like the salt of the earth that came into being in Jesus' speech 2,000 years ago, and then you've had to move it from ancient Greek into modern English. Maybe the meaning has changed just a little bit. So I wonder what Jesus meant when he called us the salt of the earth. Maybe we can find some clues by looking at how salt was used in the rest of the Bible. If we do this, we will find that just like today, when salt was added to food in the right amount, it brings out a new quality. It makes the food taste better. It's like the child who was asked in the sermon, what is salt? And he said, well, salt is the stuff that if you don't put it on the potato doesn't taste very good. So it could be that we are to be the salt of the earth. We as Christians are to be people who draw out the good qualities in other people. In the Bible, salt was also used for purification. There's a story in 2 Kings where salt was used to make water pure. On another occasion, salt was used to make a covenant with God. Paul tells his friends, your speech should always be gracious, as seasoned with salt. So maybe Jesus meant that when he calls us the salt of the earth, we are to be the preserving, helping, healing force in the world. We are not to be destructive, cursing, blaming, ugly, hurting, but healing and helping. Our speech is to always be gracious. Of course, that does not mean that everything you say has to have syrup just dripping all over it. But if we are to speak the truth, we are to speak the truth in a way that respects others, no cursing, no cutting, no gouging with words, but speak the truth in love, respecting the other person, whether or not we feel they deserve it. I'm not exactly sure how it works, But I understand that back in the olden days, salt could be used to help start a fire. Maybe that's what Jesus meant. We're to be people who start fires when we encounter apathy, disinterest, and indifference in others. I have always loved the story about John Wesley. He preached, and such large crowds gathered. They came from all over the countryside to hear this man preach. And when asked, "Why do such great crowds come out to listen to you preach?" John Wesley said, "Well, when you set yourself on fire for Christ, people just love to come out and watch you burn." I think one thing Jesus could have meant in saying we're the salt of the earth is that we are a community. During the time of Christ and even today, one might keep their salt in a bowl. And when you look at the bowl of salt, you don't see each individual grain of salt, but it's all mixed together in one big lump. You say, "Look at the salt." You don't mean each individual grain of salt, but the salt taken collectively. If you ask, "Pass the salt," one does not dip their finger into the bowl and let all the other salt go when hand you one grain of salt. That's not what they mean. Hand the whole bowl of salt, the community of salt. We are part of a community. So do not be like those people who live by their own preferences, saying, "I don't like this, but I like that. I'll participate in this church event, but not that church event." No, none of this. I am part of a community. There will be some things I like. There will be some things I don't like. But I am a member of this community, and I will participate in it anytime the community gathers. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I believe Jesus may have had all these in mind when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." We are to season life and bring out the best qualities in others. Maybe in doing this, we start a few fires where apathy and indifference exist. We are to be pure people of integrity, and we are part of a community, the church. You see, these are the qualities of those that is needed in those people that would spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is most important to note, though, that Jesus does not say, "You are to be salt." The text does not say, "If you try real hard, you may become salt." No, Jesus is emphatic. You are the salt. To follow Jesus is to be salt. Then Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." This may be a little easier to handle than being salt. You are the light of the world. We are people that when others look at us, we help them see themselves as they really are, and we help them see what the love of Christ is all about. When I was a child, we lived in a split-level house. To get from my room to my parents' room, you had to walk down the highway and the hallway. Sometimes they wish it was a highway that separated us, but it was a hallway on the upper level. And the last 15 feet of that hallway, you could look over the rail into the living room. And when I was a child and would get scared or lonely, like many of you, I'd walk to my parents' room and crawl into bed with them. But I vividly remember how I would tiptoe those last 15 feet, the part of the hall that looked over the living room when I could see, or where I could see, the bears. They were down there in the living room in the dark. And the question was, could I get to my parents' room before the bears could run up the steps and grab me? And of course, my father would just turn on the light and say, "You see, Steve, there are no bears. It's just the furniture." He turned on the light so I could see how things really were. There's an incredible amount of darkness in our world, some caused by superstition, some by secularism. Maybe related to secularism is the darkness that is caused by our own human greed. It is caused by racism. And we as Christians are to turn on the lights. We are to help people see things as they really are. We are to add a touch of reality to help people see, look, it's only a car. It's got a dent, but it's only a car. It's only a house. It's only a meal. It's only a computer. And though I don't have one of those things yet, it's only a fancy telephone. I don't know about you, but I don't worship these things. We are to help people get some perspective on themselves and on Christ. We are to be the light of the world. Do you have the energy to do that? to help people who are just bemoaning everything, this, that, and the other, to help them get some perspective. Not to throw a wet blanket on the party, but to help folks see things as they really are. Not to be judgmental or condescending, not to put anybody down, but to see the other person as he or she really is. And do you know who that other person really is? If you don't, let me give you a hint. Everybody that you will meet in this world is created in the image of God. Everybody you see, you can say this about them, that is a person for whom Christ died. That is why when I speak to you, and you speak to me, and we speak about each other with words that are seasoned with salt, it is because that you, she, or he, and everybody is a child of God. Maybe that is what Jesus meant. You are to help people see who they really are, created in the image of God. What should give us a moment of pause, though, is the fact that Jesus said, you can lose it. When it comes to salt, you can lose your saltness. Well, we all know that salt is salt, and it doesn't cease to be salt. It can lose its usefulness. Our chemistry folks will tell us, or at least I think they will tell us, sodium chloride is sodium chloride. It just doesn't become something else. And by the way, I will confess, I made a C in chemistry. Maybe it was that good. But I'm sure that you can do something to salt to make it something else. I don't know, but Jesus was saying that salt can get mixed up with so many things that it ceases to be useful as salt. You spill salt on the ground and it gets mixed with the sand and the grit and the hair and the other stuff, and you try to pick it up and use it, you'll just ruin your steak. You don't like to get all that sand in your mouth, you may even break a tooth. About all you can do with it is save it till wintertime, and if your patio freezes over, you can melt some ice with it and then trample it under your feet after that. So how does salt lose its saltiness? Or how do we lose our saltiness? It happens when we are so filled with impurities and foreign things that are contrary to our nature as the children of God. When this happens, we can then cease to be useful as salt, and it can happen, and it does happen. You hear it all the time. I know I'm a member of the church, but I know I should be there, but I know I should be giving, but I know I should do this and that. I'm sorry, but I know I should be a witness, but, and you can lose it. Oh yeah, I remember when they used to be real regular in church. I remember when they used to go there and help people and give their time and talents and energies to the poor and the homeless and the needy children. I remember when they used to. And what happened? When salt gets all mixed up with the impurities, it can become useless. Another question we can ask, can light lose its light? Well, if you put it under a bushel basket, it doesn't give light to anybody. Eventually, it will run out of oxygen and simply go out. And then there's darkness in and out of the basket. And by the way, the light was not doing much good for anybody anyway. Remember Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a barrel or under a bushel. Well, I have to be real careful. I think I've tried this before, and it gets me into trouble trying to correct Jesus. It's certainly a dangerous thing to do, and it hardly ever happens. But when I do, I try to be careful. But people do put their light under a bushel. Yes, they do. There's no question they have a light. It is there, but they're simply not using it to help anybody. It is so selfish, so inward, so me-created and centered. Some may find it uneasy or comforting to put their light under a barrel. I'm afraid my light will get blown out if I take it out from under the barrel. You see, I'm embarrassed to say anything to anybody about Jesus or the church. I just keep it under the barrel. And this leads me to one of the worst sicknesses in the church today. It's the sickness of our day that uses religion for no other purpose than to make me feel better. I hope it makes you feel better, But that's not the purpose. We use religion to help us cope with our little problems. We use religion to help us feel at peace. We go to the service because that's the way we want to worship. We choose a church because what they have to offer me. To let your light shine, you have to get off of yourself and focus not on yourself, but on the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are the salt and the light that proclaims the good news of Easter, that the world is full of hope. We are the salt and light that nurtures people in their faith, especially our children and grandchildren. We are the salt and light that preserves the truth that we know about God revealed in Jesus Christ. We are the salt and light that maintains integrity, especially in the church and in worship. We are to be the salt and light that promotes social righteousness. We are to be the salt and light that exhibits the kingdom of God in the world. Yes, you who know your polity know that is the great ends of the church. Jesus did not say you ought to be, you should. Come on now. He said you are the light of the world. Do you believe that? I believe it. We are salt. We are light. We are the children of God. Now, with that ahead of us, last Sunday we voted 36-27 to call an associate pastor. Not the most overwhelming vote in the world, though I was not particularly surprised. There is a rumor, or maybe I should say, there's a rumor about a rumor that says some of you are afraid that the preacher is a little upset about the vote. I've heard that. But it's hard enough to believe a rumor. It's especially hard to believe a rumor about a rumor. So please know, I am not the least bit upset. I would love to have seen the vote bigger span one way or the other. But I can get very excited about the possibility of our ministry and our hope may be brighter and saltier here at Westminster if we actually called an associate. I'm also excited about the possibility that if we do not raise the funds to call an associate, because it is not an associate pastor that will increase our light or saltiness, it is our faith in Jesus Christ. I will say this, it will not be an associate pastor's job to do evangelism. I know I said something about that last week, didn't I? But I take it back. It's the job of an associate pastor if they come, my job as well, but an associate pastor, if we can afford one, to at least to help us become better evangelists. That's what we're here for. I believe with my whole being that this community needs a Presbyterian church. I understand we offer a style of ministry and worship and a deep commitment to Reformed theology that is absolutely necessary to a community, but the hard fact is, we're on the verge of trouble. Since my arrival in 2003, believe it or not, I have officiated at the funerals of at least 58 members. We have had 9 members who reacted to the direction of the Presbyterian Church, and they left and started their own church. We've had some 20 at least members who have moved away from Nacogdoches. We've lost close to 90 to 100 members over the years I've been here. We've had some wonderful gains, but all in all, we seem to be getting a little smaller and a little older, and my friends, the handwriting may be on the wall. This morning at 9:00, I preached at a small Presbyterian church in the Tennessee community just outside of Timpson. The sanctuary probably holds 175 to 200 people. There were 10 people there this morning. I was number 11. If we do not deliberately start doing a better job in the area of evangelism, with or without an associate pastor, how long will it be before somebody visits this church only to worship with 10 people? And to make matters worse, the organist didn't show up this morning. I led the singing, a cappella. It wasn't good, but it was glorifying to Almighty God. The glory days are not behind us. We have the gift to share the love of Jesus Christ to this community. Invite people you know to church. Come to Sunday school and bring a friend. One of the characteristics of a growing church are members who come to Sunday school and bring friends to interact with other people in the church and study God's word. Spend time reflecting on your relationship with Jesus Christ and prayerfully ask God's Spirit to give you the words to say something to someone about what you believe. I have a dear friend in this church who was telling me about our own Rotary Club in town, or one of them. It used to have something like 200 members, but the club dwindled down to about 100. Then the club began a concerted effort to invite others to join, and the numbers are back up. It's you, it's not the pastor, who invites people to come. As much as I appreciate the Rotary Club, which is only a civic club, today we're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. So friends, let your light shine. Shake your salt. Stop spending all your time on those things that keep you busy, but spend your time on those things that are busy with eternal consequences. Shake and shine. That is what we are. That is what we are called to do. Jesus said, you are the salt. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Amen. Will you please join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you know us through and through. You know our fears, our anxieties, and our shortcomings. You understand that on our own, we simply do not have the spiritual resources to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So we give thanks for the resources you provide. Help us to apply your gifts to our life. We give thanks for the words of Scripture, that marvelous gift. Now inspire within us a desire to glean its truth. We give you thanks for your presence. Now help us to realize your presence throughout each day. We give thanks for your power. Now help us to trust that power's ability so that we can step out in faith and accomplish those things that bring you glory. Yes, make us salt and help us to shine bright. We give thanks for this church and our witness to the community, and we pray that as a community of faith, we will, with integrity, have a fervor to display the love of Jesus Christ, and lifting him up, that others will see your love and grace. We pray for our children, and for the children for whom we are responsible. May we be faithful in teaching them about Jesus, and we pray that each child in this church will have the opportunity to find their grounding in your word when they are tempted to do what is not right, and that you will always help them to do the right thing. When they are in trouble, we pray that they will find comfort. When they are lonely, may we all know your presence. Oh God, we pray for the peace in our world. We pray especially for the people of Syria and Iraq, especially those who are isolated in refugee camps. Make wars to stop. Turn cruelty into compassion. Turn hatred into love and apathy into mercy. We pray for our nation and especially the people who live in Charlotte. Give us wisdom to seek understanding. Help us to see beyond color barriers into the heart and soul of a person. And as our church works to deepen the understanding between people in our community, bless our efforts and use us as peacemakers. We also pray for the leaders of our nation that, driven by the goal of accomplishing what is best for all, that they will make wise decisions. So free them from the quest of power, the influence of lobbyists, and fear of speaking the truth, so that they might make decisions that will help us all. We pray for those who are in need of healing, in need of comfort, or whatever the need. And this morning we lift their names before you, and the response of the church will be, Lord, hear our prayers. 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 And Lord, hear our prayers. And as our Savior taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite you to say what you believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Will you please stand? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, both now and in the life to come. Amen.
Enjoy that.